Hello, I'm John Evans from One West. This is a podcast about business continuity planning, why it's important, and how you can approach it. I've got Steve Bruin with me to talk about it. Hello, Steve.
Hi, John.
So, Steve, what exactly is meant by the term business continuity?
I see business continuity within an organisation as a system that's put in place to manage your response to any incidents, bring the organisation back to a point where it can deliver a service at an acceptable level.
So some people might get confused at the difference between business continuity and emergency management. How do they differ?
I always describe this in a graph form. So if you were to look at the axis, the horizontal axis, and at the bottom of a graph and draw a blue line, that would be your business continuity. Somewhere along that line, you may have a vertical spike, which let's say is red. That's an emergency happening. What business continuity is, it's getting from the top of that red spike back down to that blue horizontal line in the shortest time possible. That is getting you back to business as usual.
So that's an interesting thing to hold. Why is business continuity planning so important? I mean, can't organisations like schools and businesses cope okay without it?
In the main, yes, they can cope without it. But we're in a world of risk managing, and I'm not saying that risk management is the same as business continuity at all. But we're in a situation where lots of different things can affect different services that are being provided by an organisation. So business continuity planning, getting back to that business as usual in the shortest time possible, will not only tell your insurance company that you are preparing your organisation in case, but it's also giving the message out to people that you are taking care of the business and, as such, them.
Gosh, it actually sounds like quite a serious thing. Is it the norm these days to have a business continuity plan?
Across the world, business continuity is huge. It's massive. It is being taken very, very seriously. During an emergency incident, where a lot of people think business continuity sits exactly alongside, emergency will take all of the resource and people will not be planning to get back to business as usual in the shortest time possible. So yes, it is becoming the norm these days. I have been dealing with business continuity now for around 12 years, and over that time, I see more and more the need for it in each organisation that I go to, certainly in the digital age we're in.
Well, that's interesting you say about digital. So is that becoming more pressing? Is business continuity more pressing because of the digital age?
It's becoming more technical. In IT terms, they call this disaster recovery. But this word, or these words, disaster recovery, came from, in my opinion, yesteryear. It is actually part of business now. IT, in my mind, is business continuity.
Okay. All these things always have a bit of jargon associated with them. And one of the terms I've heard is organisational resilience. What do we mean by that?
Lots of different people that I work with in my profession and outside see organisational resilience in different ways. I've been to conferences where nobody's really come up with a definitive answer. My opinion is that this is an organisation looking back on itself. How are we resilient from an organisational perspective? How is our business continuity management planning, our emergency planning, our risk management? It's the full package. Organisational resilience is the full package of all three of those and probably more.
Gosh, okay. And if I haven't got a business continuity plan, what's the best way to set about developing one?
Well, you can sit down with your senior leadership team and try and work out what your critical services are. If you need a business continuity plan right the way across the board, I would bring in an external provider, somebody who's got experience, and just ask to sit with them. I'm not saying that you need to ask them to develop it for you necessarily. Get them to train you. Get them to try and highlight the issues that you may actually be dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And we do at One West, we do actually provide that service.
So, Steve, things happen all the time in our workplaces. How do you know when the rollout of a business continuity plan is appropriate?
Okay, there's no real trigger. The best way to organise a business continuity plan and know when it gets triggered is to actually put in the plan when it can be triggered. So There are several things, such as a loss of a certain number of staff will start affecting it through a business impact analysis. It could be that IT, when over so many computers or the whole network goes down, these are the things that will trigger. However, that said, there are day-to-day business continuity plans going through your mind that you will deal with subconsciously, the same as risk management, such as crossing a road. Is there a bus coming? You are assessing risks all day long without even knowing about it. And those things, of course, you wouldn't go invoking a business continuity response, but the plan itself will tell you when, through a series of flowcharts, when you will be invoking that response.
Presumably, people take up different responsibilities when a business continuity plan is incepted. How does that work?
So what I encourage is something called a business continuity recovery team. So within an organisation, no matter how big, people are responsible for looking back at the business and what has been affected by the incident. What they need to do is they need to sit down and work out what the communications will be. So somebody will be responsible for that. But it's not only communications external. Sometimes it's communications coming back, because people these days very quickly through social media can criticise people for a bad response. So somebody needs to deal with that. Somebody needs to deal with staff. Somebody needs to make a decision as to who stays to deal with the business continuity recovery team and who needs rest if it's a prolonged incident, such as a pandemic flu, for instance. So there's lots of responsibilities that you will need to put in place if you're going to invoke a business continuity plan, and early planning around who is responsible for what, and again, planning for their absence in case they're not there is part of the plan, the management plan from the beginning.
But surely, when something happens, it's got to be a stretch to keep everything going as it would normally. How do you know, do you work out what's critical and what's not?
There's lots of different triggers. In my world, I look at 24 hours or less, or life or death, and that is critical. But that's because I'm dealing with over 100 services. I couldn't possibly deal with business continuity management planning without a massive workforce change. But you have to set your goal at the beginning. So what is most important? If you think that there's only one thing that may affect within the service within 24 hours, or maybe life or death, you may want to loosen it a bit. So you could be looking at 2 days or 3 days, depending on how much capacity you have to deal with it. But from a critical point of view, again, in the early stages of business continuity planning, you need to work out what you see as critical and when it becomes critical through your business impact analysis. That will tell you how much work you have to do.
So, Steve, I've heard the phrase maximum tolerable period of disruption. What does that mean?
So a maximum tolerable period of disruption, the MTPD, is the longest period your organisation will put up with disruption before it comes back to business as usual. So again, part of your business impact analysis would be how long can we do without whatever service it is until it gets back to business as usual. Now that may be 24 hours, that may be 2 weeks, that could be 3 months. However, within the maximum tolerable period of disruption, and I'm going to confuse things even more now, John, is something called a recoverable time objective. A recoverable time objective is a period in between incident and the maximum tolerable period of disruption where you actually are able to deliver an acceptable level of service. So for instance, if you lost all of your computers and you want to be back online and working back as normal within 24 hours, that's your maximum tolerable period of disruption. However, if you want to only provide emails within that time, you may have a recovery time objective of 2 hours for at least communications to be up together in terms of emails within that. So there's two. Maximum tolerable period of disruption is the long one. Recoverable time objective is somewhere in between incident and that.
Let's talk a little about some of the business areas that come under a business continuity plan.
Right.
I'm thinking that loss of staff must be a biggie.
Loss of staff is a big one, yes, of course. Pandemic is up there every year on every horizon scan as something that could be a huge issue. Now, over a period of 8 weeks, a pandemic incident could run for 8 weeks. You could lose up to 11% of your staff over that period. That's what's been planned out through the NHS. So that's a massive one and huge for business continuity, not only because of the numbers of staff, but you don't know which staff are going to actually go missing. IT, loss of IT, that's another big one. Loss of property, loss of access to property. They're all the big ones that we plan for.
What about records?
If you're managing things effectively, and this is not so much business continuity, but this is actually records management. If you're managing your records effectively, there are lots of things out there that would ensure that your records could be kept safe, unless they're paper. Now, if they're paper and they go down in a fire, then you've lost them. So you have to think about things more electronically in this age. However, managing the risk of loss to records would be, we're going to scan everything into a cloud-based environment. So that would be a risk management approach. And business continuity would be, how would we deal with the fire in this case?
There must be some things you might forget. I mean, for instance, catering, cleaning, are these still important?
Yeah, they're all still important. If you want to continue delivering an effective service, if you are in an organisation where catering has been provided, and it could be over a long time. I've been in many incidents where I'm sat in a control room dealing with a business continuity response, and we haven't got any food. Now, that's the very low level. Somebody can go and get me a pizza, for instance, or I can dial a pizza in. But if you're an organisation that, such as a school, that is providing school dinners, and it's expected to be providing school dinners, I would say that you do need that. Okay, you do need catering. A lot of the time people can actually look after themselves, but when it comes to catering for youngsters where it's actually provided as part of a service, then you do need to think about that.
I suppose of everything, loss of premises must be the biggest, as you could potentially lose everything for a period. How do you go about planning for that?
Loss of premises is being dealt with in a much better way these days because people are able to work more flexibly and from home. So although it is a big one, it is one that you can actually plan for very well by effectively using your IT systems. So if you have a cloud-based environment that people are actually able to go to, or a secure portal, and the loss of the building hasn't meant that the IT server rooms are out of use, then you're in a much better place. But it is a big one, and it takes a lot of management. It's very difficult to manage all of your staff from remote locations.
Really, really important though.
Yes.
So once a plan is written, what are the important factors in making sure it's effective if it's needed? I'm presuming communications is key.
Yes, everybody's responsible for business continuity. There's only a few people within an organisation who are responsible for business continuity planning. But everybody's responsible, everybody has a part, everybody has an input into business continuity, just by the nature that they are part of a service being provided to somebody or something. So everybody, yeah, is needing to know that you have a business continuity plan and what will be done. So those business continuity plans should be published on a website or delivered into an intranet so people can actually view them as and when. And it should be, in my opinion, part of an induction program that you do understand what business continuity means.
And include even simple things like ensuring a contact list is available.
Absolutely. Communications in a business continuity and emergency management response is more often than not, I would say, in 99.9% where failures happen. People don't communicate properly.
Finally, are there things that can help with ability to respond?
Yes, of course. Business continuity exercising. So ensuring that all staff and the responders within an organisation understand what happens within the plan and that it does work makes it relevant. The exercising will help you to respond. Practice makes perfect, and as such, I would suggest that every business continuity plan has that exercise, and that's completed every single year.
Thanks, Steve. A really interesting overview. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope you found it useful.
Thank you.